We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You're listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Stuff, episode 191, right? My name's Morgan. That makes no sense to anybody except for the guy on the other line, Mr. Austin. How the fuck is it going, buddy?
Well, that got weird at the end. Yeah, it's going good. Not up to a whole lot.
I can tell.
Yeah, just been kind of boring a little bit, but that's okay. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't have much going on.
Fair enough. Well, sometimes in life you just don't got anything going on. It's boring and it sucks and you don't want to be here, but you keep pushing through.
Exactly.
Me, on the other hand, it slowed down a little bit since the last time we chatted. As far as events going on and stuff.
Okay.
You know, the typical dodgeball, and which we did so terrible. We're so bad. We don't work together as a team. I'm sorry if anyone's listening to this that plays dodgeball with me. It's bad. We're all decent individually, but dodgeball is a team sport, as weird as it sounds. All right, here's to say I can't speak right now. Drugs.
Nice.
But you gotta work together as a team. Although I will say this, and kudos to my dodgeball team, there's been some people on the team that, without me prompting it, they've been actually talking about our podcast. So people are talking, Austin. There's some chitter chatter, whisperings. They didn't know what the title was or what it was called, but they were talking about it.
Okay.
So it's a start.
Something.
Other than dodgeball, it's starting to get nice weather wise. Here in Saskaland, still cooling off in the evenings type deal, but
right,
you can't win them all.
No, you cannot.
And then there's been some other work shenanigans, let's call it, been going on. And that's all I can say about it. Privately, I will probably tell you more, but publicly, I can't, even in the small platform.
Fair enough.
But everyone cross their fingers that hopefully works out in my favor. That's what I'll say at this point. But something I do know we can say freely, as much as we want, hopefully more times than not, is our plug. So, Austin, speak freely, my friend. My guy, sorry.
Yeah, whoa, whoa.
So, whoa. Hold up. We got to end the podcast right now.
Immediately.
Delete everything. All 191 right episodes.
Okay, I'll go do that right now.
All right. Live on air?
Yep.
Okay, we will wait.
Okay.
So how's it going for everyone?
Well, yeah. So you should follow us at TSWGS Pod on TikTok. Morgan's been posting some stuff. I occasionally, every once in a while, do. You should rate, review, tell your friends, tell your grandparents. We got a really big fan base in grandparents. And
I'll take all the grandparents.
Okay.
To a nice dinner to the Grainfields. They'll love it.
Honestly, what do old people love more than Grainfields?
Hey, Grainfields is a great restaurant. Not a sponsor, and but they should.
How I know we're both, almost both of us are in our 30s.
Yeah, I love going to grain fields. I've been going to it for years.
I will say too, I don't think any, like, I don't know if anybody knows what we're talking about. We're
whatever, it's our show. We could talk about what we want. It's called talking stuff now, isn't it?
That is true, but
so maybe we should talk grain fields for the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have food there, did you know? It's been a while since I've gone. We're not going to continue this.
Yeah, I think we're probably done with the grain fields talk.
Any other plugs, or did you finish your end of things before I ruined it?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Captain Morgan 2. See, if you just keep your end of things simple like I do, then you wouldn't have to take the chance of a guy named Morgan ruining everything.
That is very true.
So, yeah. What have we got now? Are we done plugs?
Yep.
Beautiful. So, we do have a little bit of CFL news, something that is kind of interesting. And I'll be honest, at first I didn't think it was going to come down this road, but the Elks being owned by the public, just like the Riders, for 75 years. So just a little hip hop and a jump, hip hop and a sketch, hip.
Skip. Hip hop, skip, and jump.
Thanks.
We got there in the end.
They are seeking private ownership. Like I said, first time in 75 years, which is wild. If this goes through, I believe it would make the Riders the only publicly owned organization. Although, with how their attendance and stuff has been going lately, who knows how long that will last. Because they haven't been doing great either. I mean, better than the Elks. And the fact that they've been losing all this stuff and not being able to fill their stadium is, well, we see what happens.
Yeah.
It is kind of a big deal. I don't know, you know, I'm not a professional or anything. I just kind of wanted to get your thought as well, Austin, on a publicly owned team deciding to go private.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a businessman by any stretch of the imagination.
No, neither one of us are.
So I'm not sure exactly all the implications and everything, but I don't know. It's I like the idea of the Riders being a publicly funded. I feel like it's more, I don't know. But then again, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Fair enough. It just caught me off by surprise. Yeah, let's just move on. That was a train wreck, but we're not professionals, so we're just moving right along. And I think, I don't know when he's going to surprise me with this, but Austin has some fun hockey stuff to talk about. So,
what? Who says who?
Well, that's what you said. Now, are you saying you're a liar? Well,
I don't say anything.
The silence said a lot there, apparently.
Did it? Well, no, I do have something to talk about, but we're not at that point yet.
Do I have to start talking about my juices again in order to
realize we were already through the football.
Yeah, there wasn't much to talk about football yet.
So I found, so I'm on the NHL or the hockey subreddit.
Gross.
And
that's a scary place.
No, it's really not. Really not. So
in general,
what they've been doing, or what this person's been doing, has been like basically creating a team from different draft classes. So like he's done 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, and buddy, 2015 is disgustingly good. Goalies are the weak point, but like, okay. So if you were to be able to create a team from just the 2015 draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your starting line, I don't even know in order, but like you got Connor McDavid, Mikko Rantanen, Kirill Kaprizov, Kyle Connor, Sebastian Aho, Mitch Marner, Jack Eichel, Joel Eriksson Ek, Timo Meier, Matthew Barzal, Travis Konecny, Brock Besser. Those are your forwards. Not bad.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. On defense, we got Thomas Chabot and Noah Hanifin. We got Zach Werenski and Rasmus Anderson. We got Vince Dunn, Eric Cernak, and that defense, though. The only problem here we're getting into is goaltending. We got Joey Decord, Sam Montembeau, and Aiden Hill is decent.
Yeah.
But yeah,
people didn't think he was going to be decent, but now he's turned out to be not too shabby.
It's true. Now, in terms of offense, like if you look at it compared to, let's say, 2014, so much better. So 2014 starts good, right? You got Draisaitl, Pasternak. That's solid, right? You got Braden Point. Starts to dip down. You got like Adrian Kempe, Nikolai Ehlers, Victor Arvidsson. Still good. Not great. Their defense is solid for sure. You got Devon Taves, Brandon Montour, Travis Sanheim, Aaron Ekblad. After that, it starts to dip a bit. But then goaltending. Buddy. You're not getting a puck past these goalies. Because you got, from 2014, you have Igor Shesterkin.
We're not too shabby.
Ilya Sorokin.
I've heard of him.
And Thatcher Demko.
Okay, well, there's one that isn't, not that great, but the other
Sorokin's two. Pretty damn good, too.
I was talking about Demko.
Okay, well, how are the Flames doing again?
They're still all knock on the door.
And see, but okay, so knocking on the door, what is that means? You're outside?
They're knocking on the door, but no one wants to let us in quite yet.
Yeah, the door guy's like,
we don't know the password yet.
Exactly. Yeah, but I don't know. I just thought that was interesting, just kind of putting together the like crazy teams from each draft year. But 2015, man. If you have 2015 with 2014's goaltending, I could beat any team in the world.
Yeah. Although you wouldn't be able to afford all those players.
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not.
But if the salary cap was a thing, yeah, it would be great.
It's true. So, okay. So I'm reading this. We got two more to... Oh, okay. I see. I was just trying to find the actual number. So Blake Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Coleman has been, I would say, a bright spot for the Flames this year.
One of them, yes. I've seen.
And boy, does this guy love the empty net. Which, hey, a goal's a goal, right? But I do like this quote. The boys, they just know it's pretty automatic if I get the puck on my stick late in the game.
Yeah, if I know you, I know you as a Canucks fan, you watch all the Flames press conferences, but Coleman in the media is, he's definitely something like his one-liners and stuff are great. He's one of those hockey people that you don't get the whole typical, you know, interview answers that you hear 9.5 times out of 10 type deal. You know exactly what he's saying, and it's usually hilarious and it's great. But yeah, this year he definitely has been a bright spot. He's up to, I think, 28 goals on the season, which is already a career best for him. So the Flames will probably lose him next season. That just
absolutely
seems to be what happens when the Flames.
He'll go to a team that'll actually make the playoffs. And so what we're talking about,
everyone stay stoned and stay safe.
The record for empty net goals in a season. Currently, the record is tied between Pavel Bure in 1999 and Ovechkin in 2021. They both had 9. Blake Coleman's at 7. But there's still, according to this article, 16 games left in the season for the Flames.
Yeah, now 15, but yes.
Still plenty of time for 2 empty netters, and he could tie the record. Now, I will say that's definitely not one of those records that are super prestigious.
Yeah, it's not one of those records that you know, go
you're
down history
ceremony,
with. But,
you know.
But it's one of those fun records that you don't really think about, and it's fun to talk about.
Absolutely.
It's the type of stuff you get on this Wacky Wild podcast.
Speaking of wacky and wild, I guess not wacky, Gabe Vilardi will be out indefinitely for the Winnipeg Jets because of an enlarged spleen.
That sounds awful.
Does not sound good, I'll be honest. Yeah, the forward had missed 7 games entering Friday because of an unrelated injury back in February. He's got 30 points in 38 games this year, which is not bad. He was part of the big deal between the Jets and the Kings that sent Dubois to the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, basically at this point, they don't have a timetable for his return. He will not be traveling with the team.
Now, getting a guy like Toffoli definitely looks a lot better.
Oh, definitely. But yeah, you got a feel for the guy. He already just came back from injury not long ago, and he's out again. But
and this is not going to be a short term by any means.
No.
Because it's a lot more than, well, it's not really, yeah, he's out on an injury, but it's not really it's a medical situation more than an injury.
And but what is an injury?
What's that?
But what is an injury? If it's not a medical, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was trying to have a smart moment, Austin. You had to ruin it for everyone.
Not even ruining, just
I was hearing the cheering and everything, and you had to ruin it, just like you already ruined my morning. But that's a topic for a different time, and not now.
We could talk about it now.
Nah, we got hockey to talk about still, I'm sure.
Okay, well, as we learned at the All-Star break, the NHL is going back to the Olympics, and first of all, it's about fucking time. Second of all, we've announced the GM, Doug Armstrong. He is part of the Blues organization, has been for a while. He is president of hockey ops and GM there. But not only is he GM for the Olympics, he's also in the Four Nations Face-Off and future IIHF World Championship tournaments. So like Spengler Cup, that sort of thing as well. this is a guy who's been around for a while. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to build a good team. And it's the thing I find with being the GM of Canada.
I think you're just about to say what I was about to say.
Potentially. The tricky thing is, like, well, there's a couple of tricky things. One being the expectations are very high.
Yes.
Regardless of other teams getting better, it doesn't matter. The expectations for Canada and hockey are always extremely high. That, combined with just because you have a bunch of good players, doesn't mean they're necessarily going to play good together.
That is the more difficult side of things when, like, being a GM for any Olympic team, I really, as far as, like, who's going to be on the team, generally isn't that difficult of a decision. It's more of where they're going to be on the team.
Well, it's you got to think, right? It's all-stars on every team that are coming together and being like, well, you're not the all-star anymore. You know, you're on the fourth line and you're getting 10 minutes a game. You know, it's so it can be tough for some of these guys just on a pride level, right?
But, well, like, if you think about Team Canada, like, he has to, I guess it's also the coach's decision too, but who do you put on the top center, Crosby or McDavid?
Right.
Those type of decisions, like,
now, to be fair, 2 years from now, I'd say McDavid.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking about right now. 2 years from now, I think it's a much easier decision.
Because Crosby would be 38. He'll be on the team.
Yeah, he might not even be the top two centers at that point.
But that's the thing, right? Him going out against the third line of Austria.
I'm sorry to all our listeners over there, but
Latvia is just gonna get wrecked.
Yeah, dude, I'm so excited for proper Olympic hockey.
Oh, buddy, me too.
The only downside that people keep wanting to point out is our goalie situation.
Yeah, it's not.
So I think Aiden Hill, I think he's Canadian. He is,
yeah.
He's one of the favorites to be on the team.
Yeah, it honestly, well, and I think too, part of it, like, Canada, we were known so long as having the best goalies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when you have a stretch of Patrick Waugh, Martin Brodeur.
So I've heard Talbot's name tossed around.
And okay. So here's the thing with that. That scares me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the U.S. and their goalies, dude, Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah.
Thatcher Demko.
Yeah.
Like,
the States is also going to be a scary team. I mean, they usually are. States is
going to be a stacked team.
And I'm, just because it gives Canada advantage, I'm kind of happy that Russia's not going to, because they got some scary players, but unfortunately,
okay.
I don't know how that's all going to play out.
Can I, because now we got lots of time. So.
Oh yeah, we got plenty of time.
I like that. So, because people obviously love to project things, right? And, like, predict and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
So this is the projected roster for the U.S. for the 2026 Olympics. And then we'll go over Canada just to kind of compare. So top line, Matthew Tkachuk on the left, Austin Matthews in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady Tkachuk on the right.
I don't want to play that.
Dude.
I personally would almost want to split the Tkachuks up.
Probably. And it's projected, of course, right? But it's just like.
I know, but personally, you just. because you know they're both going to be nasty. You don't know, you don't want double nasty.
Or you do, and they fuck with guys while Matthews snipes.
I mean, fair. I get the logic.
I get what you're saying too, for sure. Second line, Jason Robertson, Jack Hughes, and Jack Eichel.
Okay, just call this team brothers.
Yeah, we got Kyle Connor on the third line, Dylan Larkin, and Tage Thompson. Fourth line, dude. Fourth line, we got Johnny Gaudreau, Matty Beniers, Clayton Keller, and then the extra forwards are Cole Caulfield and Brock Besser. So that forward group, though.
Yeah, that's just not fair.
Well, just wait. So,
but before you move on, I just want to say this one thought before we, you know, forget it.
Yeah,
this is why the NHLers need to be in the Olympics.
Yep.
Because as soon as you take them out, it's not best on best anymore. Because
exactly,
then those people would be playing in the NHL where they'd be making millions.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Like, they're still talented players. Like, I'm not saying I could play on Olympic when it's not NHL players. I couldn't play on an Olympic team. Fuck.
Oh, absolutely not.
But
still. It's still not best on best.
But anyway, so, continue.
On defense, we got Quinn Hughes and Charlie McAvoy. Oh, first line. Second line, Zach Werenski, Adam Fox.
Yeah.
And I know you don't like Adam Fox, but third line, Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce, and extras Jake Sanderson and Luke Hughes. That's
great. I thought Adam Fox was Canadian.
It would appear not. I think he didn't want to play in Canada so bad. And the goalies they have on here are Connor Hellebuyck, Jake Oettinger, and Thatcher Demko.
Yeah, and even 2 years from now, I don't see why you wouldn't have those goalies or any of those players.
Nope. Right? So, pretty stacked, for sure. But Canada's looking all right, too, at least on forward and defense.
I didn't hear any Connor. Oh, wait, he's Canadian. Dodoy.
He's from North Vancouver.
I forgot. He'll probably end up playing for fucking Vancouver at some point in his life.
Nothing would make me happier.
I know. You guys. So, I'm not going to say what I was supposed to say.
Literally, Bedard's up over a point per game on the Blackhawks. Like, that's so
And he's been right injured.
Yeah. So
is that bubble?
Okay. Well, so top line. Braden Point. Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch Marner.
Ooh.
Second line. This is hilarious. Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, and Connor Bedard.
Oh my lord. They would have possession. That second line is almost scarier than the first line because.
Arguably, yeah.
Like, all Crosby has to do is win faceoffs. That's it.
That's literally it. And of course, he would do more than that.
But well, yeah, but he would just win faceoffs and then just watch the MacKinnon with those magical mitts or Bedard pass. Like,
yeah,
it's gross. But I get, again, this is what you get. We get best on best.
Exactly. Third line.
I sound like a broken record, but it's true.
Well, time will tell. We got Jared McCann, Steven Stamkos, and Carter Verhaeghe. Also excellent third line.
Solid.
And then fourth line, we got Dylan Cousins, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Mark Stone. Also an excellent line.
So I would argue that so far, since we're just through the forwards, well, I guess you there's probably a couple extra forwards that you didn't mention yet.
Yeah, there's Zach Hyman and Robert Thomas.
All right, so overall, if I was to break down just the two forward groups, I would say the States top to bottom definitely is a little bit more stacked. When you have a guy like Goudreau on your fourth line and stuff like that, it's in my mind, it's hard to argue.
Yeah, Goudreau's on the fourth line, but so is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Mark Stone, and those guys are not fourth liners.
I wouldn't complain that about that being my fourth line either.
But I do, I would give a slight edge to the U.S. just for depth. I think Canada has a higher end, but they got the depth.
I do love how we're doing this breakdown 2 years in advance.
Absolutely. I love it. Hey, they wrote the article.
Yeah.
Defense. Now, this is looking good. So, top pairing, Josh Morrissey and Cale Makar.
Yes, dirty. Please.
Dirty. Second line, Thomas Chabot, Jacob Chychrun. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Third line, Shea Theodore, Dougie Hamilton. I think that's a solid defense core. And then you got Darnell Nurse, which I don't agree with as an extra. And then Evan Bouchard, which I also am a little meh.
I hope Nurse is the bottom of that. And I hope it's only if the guys break both their legs. And
exactly. He's not Olympic level.
I don't like him.
And in net, here is where we really fall off the rails.
Yeah.
So we got Aiden Hill, Tristan Jarry, and Logan Thompson.
Well, for some reason, I thought I heard Talbot. Maybe I was thinking Thompson.
It could also be another list, because this is just this website. You know,
true.
Could be something else. But now...
I think of those goalies, you'd have Hill start.
Yeah, probably.
And then Jerry is your backup, and then Thompson is your...
So, I will say, they also have Sweden up here, and Sweden is no joke.
No.
Because they got no particular order, but Philip Forsberg, Elias Pettersson, William Nylander, Leo Carlson, mm-hmm. Mika Zibanejad, Jesper Bratt, Gabriel Landeskog, Lucas Raymond, Adrian Kempe, Joel Eriksson Ek, Elias Lindholm, Fabian Zetterlund, William Karlsson. Pretty solid offense. Defense, top line, you got Victor Hedman and Rasmus Dahlin. That is a defensive line.
Yes. That's a brick wall.
That is going to... That'll shut you down. And then second line, you got Hampus Lindholm and Rasmus Andersson. Also very good.
Yep. You got third a little line, bit more of an offense push on your second line there.
Yeah. Third line, you got Matthias Ekholm, who's been excellent, and Erik Karlsson, which I don't know that Erik Karlsson's going to be on there. Again, this is 2 years out, but in net, we have a Bruin. And then some other guys. Linus Allmark, who's been for the Bruins. Jesper Wallstedt, who I'm not sure too much about. And Philip Gustafsson, who has been excellent in Minnesota. Sweden's got a decent team, my dude, my guy.
Yeah, they're usually a threat in the world type of competitions.
Oh yeah. Sweden has been good for a while, but I don't know. It's interesting. I know it's a long ways out, but I always think it's fascinating to kind of theorize who's going to be where and who's going to make.
Yeah. If you guys can tune into episode 250, or no, it'll be past that by that point. Oh, yeah. Maybe not 300. And we'll see what the actual lineups are for.
Yeah. Maybe they're all dead. Maybe the world has ended.
Well.
Zombies. So.
I'm rooting for zombies.
I think you may have put this on a different show, but we didn't have time to get to it.
Yeah, episode 190. Last episode. Okay.
There we go. So I was correct. Excellent.
You know, the whole juices and trades.
God. Yeah, just so everyone knows, in case you're curious, I did write it in the description of last week's episode, but I did not come up with the title. I've come up with 189 titles.
I suggested a few of them, but generally just speaking, about. Yes.
I would say over 175, at least.
Over 180. There hasn't been many. But yeah, and what Austin's saying is...
needed the last episode to be juices and trades. So hey, that's what happened.
If this is your first episode, please go back and listen because it will explain everything.
And it'll really help the show. Also, I'm pretty sure I forgot to put the episode number in that title, so that's my B. Who cares? I was just so thrown off by the fact that it was juices and trades.
Hey, but you could have vetoed it.
Speaking of trades.
We're going back on that train a little bit.
We're past the trade deadline, but there was some trades that were rumored to happen, were very close to happening, and just didn't come to fruition. But six trades that should have happened at this trade deadline.
We're still only 36 minutes in. Woof.
I know, right? We've been flying through.
That's fine.
That's because there was no CFL.
Yeah, it's slow right now.
Yeah.
But before we know it, I'll be talking CFL once again.
There you go. So, there was a big trade in the works between the Flames and the Devils.
Talking about goalies that are going to be in the Olympics, this will be one of them.
Oh, so it's interesting because it seemed like a perfect fit. The Devils need goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
The Flames need to retool, I guess.
Well, at this point, when they were trying to think of this trade, I think what really held it up was the fact that they were going after a point getter, someone that I'm going to say like a Matthews, not necessarily the same caliber, but someone, you know, you expect to get between the 80 to 100 points in a season.
Right.
Type area. New Jersey has a couple of those players, but I don't think they're quite willing to give them up. That's my theory of why this trade didn't go through. And it seemed like, I mean, we talked about it with the whole Jake Allen thing. It seemed like the Devils kind of had to settle a little bit, if you will. I mean, Jake Allen's still a solid goalie, but
he's not Jacob Markstrom.
No.
My theory is the Flames didn't want to retain
that as well.
I think if they thought if they were clear, if they were going to move Markstrom, they were not going to be paying for him. And I think New Jersey.
And he still has another year on the contract. So they're like, if he doesn't want to sign, there's still time to move him.
Yeah, it says two more years.
Well, the rest of this year and next year, I believe.
Next year,
this is last year.
Fair enough. So they wouldn't have even had to retain for too long if that's the case, but I don't know. I think this is a trade that could have definitely shaken up both teams. The Devils, I'm not really sure what they're doing now. They're kind of falling back to earth after a really good season last year. And they got Jake Allen, Kapokakinen at the deadline, but it hasn't helped much. And I can't help but feel like Markstrom really could have been a piece that would have.
Although Markstrom currently is out with, I say in quotation marks, injury. It seems to happen a fair bit this season where he gets his nasty paper cuts.
From counting his money?
What's that?
From counting his money?
Yeah, well, the Flames keep wanting to try to see how Dustin Wolf has been doing.
Okay.
Which, Markstrom might as well get the sniffles once in a while or infect the paper cut. Although, Dustin Wolf, he beat Vegas and Montreal back-to-back. Well, not back-to-back, but two straight wins. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy the Flames still have Markstrom, but at the same time, I do know what they could potentially get from Markstrom, but in the offseason, I could see something happening where there's going to be a lot more teams on the market for a goaltender at that point.
Very true. This one is interesting. I didn't know specifically to the Rangers, but I heard Frank Petrano's name out there a lot. He's put up 30 goals and counting. He doesn't cost much money. But I think it was a matter of Pat Verbeek, the Ducks GM, basically saying or thinking, I'm not getting what I think I should get for this player, so I'm not going to trade him. And that's the thing. He kind of had the power there, right? It's not an expiring contract, so
there's a lot of teams this year that seem to dangle their top scorers or their, especially on, the teams that definitely weren't going to make the playoffs, like the Ducks.
Yeah.
And
I believe yesterday they were actually officially eliminated from the playoff contention.
Yeah. So, it makes sense to see what you potentially could. Just because someone's on the trade block or whatever doesn't mean they're actually really on the trade block, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. You could just be kind of feeling like... And
testing
then,
the waters.
Now, if they would have gotten a really good offer, he probably would have got traded.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. He's definitely a guy who could add a lot to any playoff team. I am on the other side of the fence with this, though, too, because... somebody's got to score. It's a terrible team. Somebody's got to put the puck in the net.
Once in a while.
So it doesn't necessarily mean, but he has been having a good season, especially for his career. But
I do like the next thing in the. Yeah.
So the first two things have been very specific, right? A player and a team were mentioned, or multiple teams. This one, Vancouver. Adding any forward, just a forward, just any forward. And I do like that they had a picture of Phil Kessel. Now, I don't know if we talked about that tons, but there was talks.
We hinted at it. We never had like full discussion on it.
There were talks of a potential Phil Kessel signing with the Vancouver Canucks. He was working out at Abbotsford with the Abbotsford Canucks, and I don't know.
It didn't really pan out.
It didn't pan out, and I am a little sad about it. I'm not gonna lie. I really wanted Phil Kessel on the Canucks for a couple reasons.
At like around the $1 million mark, I would have tossed him on the fourth line.
Oh, fourth line or extra four, just a guy there who has
locker room guy
who has won multiple times. Knows what it takes to win.
And he can tell you the best hot dog.
Just a vibes guy. Oh, dude, there's a Costco like right next pretty much to...
I know, that was me. There's so many memes all over the place about that.
It's like, it could have been perfect. It would have been a match made in heaven.
He could have got his Gatorade and like the big packs that you get.
Absolutely.
Oh, it would have been perfect.
There's a few, though. Okay, so moving on, Phil Kessel, because he's not a guy that really moves the needle. He's more of a locker room guy, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of rumors, a lot of talk about guys like being in on the way for like Jake Guentzel.
Yeah, I've heard that rumor as well, yeah.
Now, I'm not upset that we didn't get Gensel. I got nothing against Gensel. He's a good player. He can score. But we have scoring small wingers. That's not something we
need. You need more of like a power forward.
Exactly. And Gensel is not that guy. Riley Smith could have been interesting from Pittsburgh. But ever since he hasn't been on Vegas, he just hasn't been himself. And I worry that that would continue with the Canucks. They didn't add much at the deadline. But I don't know. People keep saying they didn't do anything at the deadline. It's like,
they did all the stuff
before the deadline.
Yeah, a week, like, if not even earlier than that.
Or like Zadorov was like a month and a half, 2 months ago already, right? Like, it. You don't have to make a deal at the deadline.
It's kind of nice when you don't, because then it gives the players time to gel with. Because now, what, for most teams after the deadline, there's like 20 games tops.
And that's the thing, right? Because everyone's saying, oh, Lindholm hasn't really been great so far. It's like, okay, but he still has a lot of time before the playoffs.
Yeah, hopefully. Like, well, I don't want to say this as a Flames fan, but as, you know, I guess a friend. Hopefully he catches fire, you know, in Canucks standpoint when it comes to the playoffs. But,
well, and I will say too, like, he, so people are calling him up for not performing quite up to expectations, but we've had some injuries, so he's not necessarily playing on a great line that he would normally gel with. It's more of a, these are who you have to play with because we're dealing with some injuries. Mm-hmm. I think once we get a little healthier, I think it's going to gel a bit better for sure. I like Lindholm. From what I've seen of him as a Canuck, he hasn't put up a ton of points, but actually watching the games, it's like he's out there lifting sticks. He's
great defensive-minded.
Like, right? And I know a lot of people said that, but it's nice to see.
And the only reason why he had a couple of years putting up good numbers is he was playing on a line with Goodrow and Kachuk.
I mean, if you're not putting up points with those guys, what are you doing?
All he had to do is sit at the dot like Ovechkin and wait.
Exactly. And let Kachuk run around, get it to Goodrow. Goodrow with the beautiful silky passes and just light it up. Yeah, no, I like him on the team for sure. This one is also kind of not specific. The Islanders getting a scorer. just anybody that scores. Of course, the names come up like Jake Gensel, but obviously they weren't able to make that happen. I don't really know what New York, what the Islanders are doing. They've kind of been okay for a while now. You know, they made the big get to get Bo Horvat, and he's been, again, decent for them.
Hasn't been the answer that they've been looking for.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, he was in Vancouver, right? It's funny because hindsight. I'll be totally transparent here. I hated it. I wanted to keep Horvat. I wanted Miller gone.
Oh, we know from
right. Like, I'm sure we could go back and there's podcasts where I'm like, this is awful.
Yeah, I don't think we have to go back very far.
But now, dude, who would you rather have, JT Miller or Bo Horvat? Okay, well.
Well, like, if I'm talking about, like, adding him onto the Flames, I'd honestly probably pick Horvat because, well, again, JT Miller is pretty solid. I don't know. I wouldn't complain about either one of them, but
right.
If you're to compare their two seasons together, yeah, you have to go with Miller.
Because it just, I think too, with Miller, he's got that dog in him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he is, oh man, like, he's a guy you don't want to piss off, you know? Let's see here. So, when is this? 12 games? No, not head to head. Oh, I'm just trying to find their stats this year.
Of course you are.
That's all. I'm not. Oh, fuck. Okay. It's not worth it. It's going to take forever. I don't care. I don't care.
The next thing is Anaheim trading Trevor Zegras.
Yeah. So there was a lot of talk about this. And first of all, I'm pretty sure I called them out when they did it. I don't know why the fuck NHL 23 put Zegras on the cover. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But come on. Really? Nobody was more deserving? Oh, well, he did the Michigan. It's like, okay, cool. Now be consistent goal scorer in this league. You know? Like.
And now doing the Michigan is like a. People just do it now.
Yeah, you can just do, like, it's not. Which, like, cool. But. I don't know. It's just. I think people overhyped him to the point where everyone was like, oh, he's incredible. And it's like, I think he's good. Don't get me wrong. But.
Now, see. I think also some people are looking at it like he has some skill and stuff and just try and picture him on an actual good team. That could be exciting to watch.
That, well, that is true.
Like, for example, picture Trevor Zegras on like the Oilers or Colorado.
See, now that is, that gets a little more interesting.
Or sure. Even the Canucks, would you complain?
Well, with Zegras, I don't know if I would complain. I wouldn't want to give up too much because I don't know.
No, he's still, that's the thing. He's still a younger player, so you wouldn't have to give up that much. A couple draft picks, probably, maybe another prospect.
That's true. Yeah, there's definitely guys I would want more, especially
from. I definitely agree that he was definitely overhyped.
Yes.
But he is definitely one of those players that have me intrigued. Yep. I would love to see what he could do on a proper team.
That is fair. Now, this is a trade that would have.
And it was close.
It was very close to happening. I think. This would have broken hockey internet in general. Mm-hmm. So the Bruins, for the last couple of years, have been rocking the two goalie, the tandem, right? Linus Ullmark, Jeremy Swayman.
Easily the best goalie tandem. And I was thinking of this morning. Oh,
absolutely. It's not close. No. Other teams have better goalies, absolutely. But as a tandem, no chance.
Yeah.
So, however, the Bruins seeing that as a strength, being like, hey, we could use this to add. Right? Now, apparently, it doesn't say in this article, I don't think so, but apparently, the piece coming back from LA would have been Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Pretty solid.
Now, well, but is it though?
Not, you still have to add some on to it,
and that's sure. The thing, right? But the thing that blows my mind, I don't know. I feel like we've been hearing about Pierre-Luc Dubois for 30 years. He's 25 years old. He's 25.
Yeah,
like, he could still get a little bit better. Like it, but I feel like his whole career has been. Boy, has he got a lot of potential. You know what I mean?
Oh, boy, I definitely know. His name's always in rumors.
He's 6'4", 225 pounds. He's a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the tools. But he's never gotten over 63 points in a season. He's never hit 30 goals in a season. And yet... They were like, huh, let's give this guy all the money in the world.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's because he's been paid on potential, I think. My personal opinion is he got paid on potential. But this dude makes $8.5 million a season. So it's like from what I've seen, the only reason the trade didn't go through is because Ullmark had the no trade clause and he used it. I think he saved the Bruins by doing that.
Yes.
I think he saved the Bruins from themselves, because I think they would have regretted that trade significantly. And there's nothing against Swayman. Swayman's an excellent goalie.
Mm-hmm.
But losing that half of your goaltending for a maybe? Eh,
yeah, that's not the type of return you would want something.
Now, L.A., on the other hand, if that was the trade, if it was just one for one, L.A. would have fucking come out so good.
Dude, another reason why I'm happy that this trade didn't happen is for both of our benefits. Being a Flames and Canucks fan.
Absolutely. The fact that the Kings didn't get an incredible goaltender, yeah, I'm pretty happy about that.
Now, if this trade happened to the with the Flames, they didn't have to give up Markstrom.
Right?
Oh, now I'm just talking fantasy world stuff.
Now, something I will say too, I just want to kind of add this on here because it doesn't have to do with these trades. It's just a little
fine. Electric. You do what you want. See if I care.
I will. So,
rude.
This is, I'm going to talk about a player here for a little bit. And actually, I'm going to say some stats. I'm going to see if you can figure out who it is.
Oh, I'm not good at this, but let's do it.
I think it could be fun.
Well, so, let's see.
So this player has played for he played for the Kings.
Mm-hmm. Drew Doughty.
The Flyers.
Oh.
The Predators.
Mm-hmm.
The Devils.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Leafs. His career high for goals is 32. That was with Philadelphia. His career is 1,037 games.
Okay.
1,300 penalty minutes.
Hmm.
Who is this player?
Tavares. I don't know, dude.
Tavares was drafted by the Islanders and then he signed with the Leafs.
I don't fucking know.
It's Wayne Simmonds.
Okay.
And he is retiring. He's 35 years old. He's calling it a career. 1,037 games played. This is kind of a neat stat. 263 goals, 263 assists.
Hmm.
He ended his career exactly the same there.
So of course you're going to retire at that point.
Right? It's perfect. Dude was the definition of a power forward.
Mm-hmm.
He had a four-year stretch with Philly where he put up at least 50 points every season. He wasn't the guy to get 100 points, but in those seasons he also had 147 penalty minutes, 122 penalty minutes. Wayne Simmonds was a guy who in the mid 2010s, like 2014-15, was a force, and he was a guy you wanted on your team.
Yeah, he's a true power forward.
Yeah. Especially, so
like if you compare the power or what we consider power forwards nowadays to a guy like him, yeah, it's not even close.
Well, he came into the league in 08-09, so it's definitely, yeah, a little bit of a different point. But what was I going to say here?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just a solid career. Good dude. Everything I heard about him is just absolutely great guy. And yeah, congrats on the excellent career.
Well, I didn't know he was retiring. Well, news to me, my guy. But I think we talked enough. What do you think?
I think so. I think we somehow managed
to. Yeah, I don't know how episode we pulled that off.
I remember at one point I looked up, it was like 24 minutes. I'm like,
we started talking Olympic stuff and it was at the halfway mark.
I know. It feels like it was an episode ago.
Jeez Louise. We're a boring couple people, but we did it.
But we're not, because we did it.
That's called professionalism. Everyone out there.
Oh, hold on. I got to throw in one little thing that's not sports at all.
Oh, exciting, actually.
So here's a little funny story, or not funny, but kind of funny.
I'll be the judge.
A Montreal man returns from vacation, gets letter from Quebec government saying he's dead.
Oh, well, it is funny because obviously.
Well, obviously he's not. After returning home from an extended vacation in Costa Rica, a Montreal man got the surprise of a lifetime in the mail. The Quebec government thinks he's dead. In a 14-page letter from the Ministry of Justice,
14 pages.
Well, the government wrote that it is hoping to collect money from Nick Futuros' estate for a speeding ticket. The problem is he's alive. So
I'm guessing he's probably just going to pay for the ticket.
Well, literally, so 34-year-old, he says he contested the speeding ticket in 2022 and then left for an extended vacation. Completely forgot about it. So I guess they just assumed he was dead.
Talk like, about jumping to conclusions on
like we gotta get the money. Like, okay, that's all right. I just thought that was funny.
I would have let in there showing up with like I would have painted myself like really white colored ghost colored paint and then showed up at the ticket place and just like I'm here to pay my ticket and just like fuck with them. I went full ghost mode.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, that's great. Now I know how to get away from tickets is just go on a very long vacation.
Yeah, just go to Costa Rica for a while.
They'll just assume you're dead. Although I could just pay for the ticket, I feel like it would be a lot cheaper than going to Costa Rica for a long ass time. So,
okay. Sorry. One last thing.
Ooh, more stuff.
We're gonna have a little competition in the podcast game.
Okay.
I think we'll still come out on top, but so there's a podcast coming out soon called Mind the Game. They'll be talking about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's LeBron James. So we'll see if it gets as popular as our podcast is. I doubt it. But
I highly doubt it. We might have to reach out to them, give them some pointers.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, if they let us know, like we could probably give them a shout out. They, you know, they.
Oh yeah.
A couple bucks. You know, maybe a couple trips.
We'll talk to them. We'll get our people on with their people. And
like, yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, our people will talk to their people because we definitely have people.
We got at least anyway, two of them.
Honestly, now we're going too long to the point where I'm kind of annoyed. So
yeah, this is all your fault, Austin. You know how to solve this though? It'll make everyone happier. Stay stoned and stay safe.
You forgot, but
what?
You forgot to do it for a sec, didn't you?
Oh no, I was getting there. It's called pausing for effect.
Bye.